Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. We have an important message to bring you today, and we're so glad that you've joined us. You know, the scripture tells us, and I say this over and over, I'm just going to keep saying it over and over because it's vitally important that we obey this not just suggestion, this command from the scriptures. And it simply says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more, even as you see the day approaching, exhorting, encouraging one another. We need to come together around the Word of God, and we need to heed the warnings from the Word of God. This is a scripture warning us that the day of the Lord is coming, and we should be acutely aware of the soon coming of Jesus Christ as well. And we should be gathering together to exhort one another and encourage one another. So I pray that you will stay tuned for exhortation, for encouragement, for instructions from the Word of God. We should be in the know. There should be preaching and teaching that alerts us to the coming of Jesus, yes, but also the coming of the day of wrath, the day of the Lord. The Bible said that it hasteneth greatly and it will burn as an oven. We want to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, and we do not want to be here during the outpouring of the justifiable anger, in effect, the wrath of God. We've had a message in tongues and interpretation recently, and that it is so simple and yet so significant. The Lord saying to us, reiterating to us, I want to save you. I want to seal you with the Holy Spirit, and I want to keep you safe from the wrath to come. So I want to bring you a message this morning, a warning and also of encouragement. Listen carefully. The title of this message is, It Will Happen Suddenly, But There Is Still Time. It will happen suddenly, but there is still time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. Listen to it. Once again, we're supposed to be people that are in the know. If you're not under a ministry that is alerting you to the soon coming of Jesus and the reality of the fast approaching judgment to come, you need to begin to pray right now that you, about where you go to church and why you go to church and what kind of teaching you are sitting under. You do not want to miss this wonderful opportunity while there's still time to be saved, sealed, and safe from the wrath to come. It will happen suddenly, but there is still time. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. It says, But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It will happen suddenly, you see, but there is still time. When they say peace and safety, that's going to happen during the first part of the tribulation period. It's going to happen when the Antichrist arrives on the scene with the answer and the solutions to all the perplexing problems of all the nations of the world. He will look like a savior to Israel and to the nations of the world. Amen. Wars will temporarily cease, and there will be a prosperity prosperity like the world has never known. And people will go after him, except those that are in the know. And it's important that we are people that are in the know. You know perfectly well. There should be no vagueness about it. There should be no darkness about it. This should be crystal clear to every child of God and every true minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know perfectly well the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. The coming of Jesus, suddenly, it will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be changed suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The scripture says, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It will happen suddenly. Listen to what Jesus said in warning to his followers in Luke 21. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21, verse 34 and 35. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, we're not just talking about alcohol. There may be people out there that are teetotalers when it comes to alcohol. But you can be overly concerned with the cares of this world. You know, the Bible said the cares of this life will choke the word and other things entering in and cause it to become unfruitful. We need to be, we need to take heed to ourselves. Scripture said we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare or a trap, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. I'm going to read a paraphrase to you. Put some practical things in here. But be on guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere, at once. So whatsoever you do, don't fall asleep. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet when you stand before the Son of Man. Praise God. Listen, friend of mine, there are a lot of things that are not sin. You can't find it qualified as a sin in the Scripture, but there's a whole bunch of things that are encumbrances if we want to run with perseverance this race that is set before us. If we want to endure to the end, if we want to escape the wrath to come, if we want to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, dear friend of mine, it's important that we heed the warnings from Scripture. Indeed, it will come suddenly. But thank God, there is still time. I want to read about a sudden cataclysmic event that happened in history. And I want to read this from an excerpt, so listen to it carefully. It says, I want to take you back with me now to February 3rd, 62 A.D., there's an earthquake. On the Mercalli scale, it registers a 9. That's long before the Richter scale. And the beautiful city of Pompeii is suddenly in ruins. Literally millions in investment are just rubble. But would you believe the Roman government poured in the money to rebuild? They rebuilt the general registry, the streets, the amphitheater that seated 20,000 people, a temple to the goddess Isis, and thermal bathhouses. There were two Roman consuls at the time by the name of Regulus and Virginius. They said, and I want to quote them, "The gods destroyed Pompeii so that we could be even richer in the rebuilding," you see. They saw it as something good, the silver lining in the cloud, if you please. And it could be even more beautiful. Now then, this beautiful rebuilt city shifts in scenario. The date now is August 24th, 79 A.D. Just 7 years, 6 months, and 21 days following the great earthquake that leveled the city. It's 1 p.m. Thousands of Romans are sunning themselves on the beaches. If they bothered to glance up, there was that beautiful, scenic Mount Vesuvius, overgrown with brush, peering out of the water. That mountain had been quiet for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. But suddenly, in a few seconds, it exploded. One eyewitness described it as a tree that went straight up in the air, 6,600 feet, a straight tree with heavy foliage and lots of branches, and then the branches were shorter and shorter. Having lunch in Cape Messina, 31 miles away, is a naval prefect, the commander of the Roman fleet in the area. His name is Gaius Plinius II. He sees this mushroom-like explosion. He's never seen anything like it. He instantly calls for a low-profile boat and two sets of rowers and heads for Pompeii, not quite knowing what is happening. He's a naturalist, the author of 37 books, the author of the first encyclopedia of natural history and science in the Roman Empire. As he draws closer, he suddenly realizes this is a terrible tragedy. The only escape must be by sea. He summons his entire fleet. The keenest desire of his heart was to save a very close friend living in Pompeii's suburbs, but he failed. For when that straight tree, 6,600 feet high, came down, lava poured down the southeast slope of Mount Vesuvius, lava 19 to 65 feet deep. It was nearly 2,000 years before we were able to reestablish the scene, but it's perfectly preserved because that soft lava cooled, holding everything in place. Archaeologists found the ancient city molded into place, just waiting to be discovered. There's the lady from the house of Phobos, a very rich lady, carrying her box of gold, silver, and jewelry, seeking to escape. There are 60 gladiators still chained, waiting to perform in the amphitheater. Hundreds of slaves, so many people in their villas drinking wine in the afternoon. They say the vineyards on Mount Vesuvius were famous for the fruit of the vine. That moment was caught up in history, preserved for nearly 2,000 years before it was uncovered by archaeologists. It strikes a note of terror. There are watchdogs frozen literally where they were. One dog had turned on his master and was trying to bite him, evidently. The frantic ones fleeing for the sea and not making it, and Gaius and the toxic gases caused him to suffocate to death when he got near, while seeking to save a friend so sudden, just as sudden as Hiroshima, just as sudden as Nagasaki. Dear friend of mine, today judgment is going to come suddenly, and it's going to happen when the world, according to the first 3.5 years of the book of Revelation, the world is going to go through a period where wars will cease and where there is prosperity. Babylon will be the central city of all of the riches. It's also going to be a religious and spiritual center. There will be a false prophet. There will be the Antichrist described as beast coming out of the sea of humanity. And friend of mine, when they say peace and safety, when they feel secure, when even Israel believes they've found someone that can take away the tension and the pressure of an imminent war that they live under constantly, they will make a covenant with him, but he will break his covenant with them. Judgment will come suddenly when they say peace and safety. Jesus' return will be sudden, like a lightning flash from east to west. That's why we're told to be ready and not to be caught up in so much that we are not keenly aware of the nearness of the coming of Jesus. The Bible said to them that look, look for him. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Of course, he's sinless. It's not talking about that. It means this coming, the rapture, not the second coming when every eye will see him and he will stand upon a mountain. Listen, to save Israel. No, not the second coming. This is the secret coming. The one Jesus talked about when he told the parable of the 10 virgins at midnight, this secret coming, it wasn't announced, but the espoused bridegroom that had espoused this bride came for her at midnight. Very unexpectedly, we will clearly say it was suddenly there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, but she was ready. The five wise virgins had oil in their lamps. We used to sing it, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning till the light of day. Praise God, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, the scripture teaches us, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Praise God, friend of mine. We don't need to be caught up in surfeiting, drunkenness, and the care. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. No, I'm not talking about alcohol. You know what's wrong with that. You should know. If you don't, we've got some good resources so you can know. If you just, listen, don't be looking for what you can get away with when you read the scripture. Don't look in for, well, I don't see it in the Bible. Let me tell you something that is in the Bible. If you expect to run this way, if you're in it to win it, lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset you and run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Everything is not a sin, but there are things that keep us from running full out and keeping our eyes on the prize, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. This is no time to read the Bible to see how much we can fulfill the desires of our flesh and not be qualified as sinners. That is a wrong attitude for a child of God to take. We should be getting closer and drawing closer to God as we see the day approaching. There's one thing that I'm deeply concerned about today, that the ministry of warning is not as strong as it should be. You've all heard the news about the island of Maui, the town that was so many, over 100 people, including children, killed, and a whole town wiped out by a wildfire. And there were sirens that could have went off to alert them that something terrible was about to happen. And they delayed. They did not alert them. The warning didn't go off, and the person in charge of that resigned because all the heat was being brought to bear. Why did you not sound the warning? I'm going to tell you something about preachers today. Preachers that are not sounding the warning. When we know from reading the scriptures, the prophecies, we should understand above anyone else that the nearness of the coming of Christ is here. The nearness of the day of the Lord is almost upon us, and we need to sound the alarm. Praise God, friend of mine. I want to sound the alarm today. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, and I, you know, you can turn me completely off, but I will stand before God and I will answer to Him, and I want to be able to say what Paul said when he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men." Listen, what's he talking about? He's talking about the book of Ezekiel that he had clearly read in the Old Covenant. "Son of man, I've made you a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you warn my people and they don't heed the warning, they will be destroyed, but you will not be held accountable. But if you see the enemy coming and you warn my and fail to warn my people, their blood will I require at your hand. Christ's return will be suddenly like a lightning flash. Judgment will fall as a trap," it says. "It'll be sprung like a trap suddenly. We who are saved will be changed suddenly in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But this is the day of salvation," the Scripture declares. "Now is the accepted time." Right now, in these closing moments, you can call upon the Lord. You can repent of your sin if you're not a Christian. And you can run to Jesus. Not just come to Jesus when it's convenient, but knowing the time, hearing the message, heeding the warning, you can run to Jesus Christ and you can be saved. Come to Jesus, but come running to Jesus today, because God wants to save you, seal you with the Holy Spirit, mark you for mercy and not for judgment, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. Oh, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, now is the time. This is the accepted time. Don't wait for some better time. Come now while there's time. And today, if you're a Christian, heed the words of Jesus. Hear the words of Jesus. Take heed, beware, lest your heart be overburdened, overcharged with all the cares of this life, with partying, drunkenness. You know, you can get drunk, inebriated on just living this life for every kind of pleasure you can find, running to and fro, never stopping to hear and heed the warnings that we have clearly in the Word of God, and we should hear clearly from the mouth of His ministers today. I urge you in the name of Jesus, get ready so that you can be ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh in Jesus' name.